Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Late. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace. Welcome back. I'm glad to be back. First of all, I'm going to just say the show is now going to be 30 minutes. We're going to stay at 6 p.m. because I cannot hang at 11 p.m. I don't know who I thought I was, but I can't hang at 11 p.m. The only time I can stay up that late is if I'm trying to get some sleep, then I can't fall asleep. But anyway, I was going to talk about today, I thought I would talk a little bit about Charleston, but I'm not, because this is a subject that has had me so wound up and angry and hurt, you know, and everything. And I got past that, you know. I went out on Friday night to karaoke and I got past it. I had a wonderful time. The men's group where I attend, social events, they did a nice Mother/Father's Day potluck dinner, which was really good. Those oxtails were banging. The collard greens and lasagna and the macaroni and cheese, it was good. And I really enjoyed myself. And one of the ladies who, you know, I thought was rather a shy lady, she did a performance that was just, the only thing I said, it uplifted me. It lifted me up out of the funk I was in, because I was in a terrible, terrible funk. But so for that, I am not going to be talking about anything very serious this evening, because I'm really trying to stay out of that funk. I just decided what I'm going to really, really talk about. I'm going to call these the X-Tales. And I'm going to talk about three incidents that have happened, and they all happen to involve exes of mine. The first one is going to be, I'm over it, so maybe it's a little lighthearted. Last Saturday before that, they had the Big Apple barbecue festival. And, you know, my sister always likes to go out, go, oh, you live in the city, you know, Nene, you might as well get out, come on, let's go here, let's go there. I like my house, I do. I appreciate living in the city, but I've been living in the city for almost 15 years, so it really is not that exciting to me. But I do appreciate it. So, you know, they were going to go out to this barbecue festival, my niece and my sister. My niece is like, okay, I'm going to go out very early and get us a spot, and I expect you to be there. I'm like, well, I hope you're not doing that for me, because I don't want to go. About before 7:30 the next morning, my ex-husband, he called, and he says, well, what time are you going out to the park? You know, I said, well, I didn't plan on going, but, you know, he's like, why not? You know, because my daughter, we share three children, four grandchildren. So my daughter was in town. She had the grandsons are here, so we're going to get all of us together, and we're going to go out, you know, in the park and, you know, just have a good time. And, you know, I'm like, oh, all right, okay, I guess I'll go. I'll go out early with, you know, my niece, and we will, you know, get a spot. And, you know, that'll be, you know, cool like that. We go out, me and my niece, we go out to go get a spot. And we're sitting there, you know, she, you know, leaves me there. I'm sitting in my scooter. She, you know, spread out the blanket in the grass, you know, whatever. She said, I'll be right back. Because she wanted to go scouting out the different trucks, you know, see what she wanted to get, you know, whatever. So I'm sitting there and, you know, call my daughter, you know, where you guys at? They're going to Chuck E. Cheese. What? Daddy stopped by, and we're going to take the kids to Chuck E. Cheese. Needless to say, I was pissed. You know, and I was pissed because I'm sitting out there in the park waiting for everybody to come. And I'm out there, and I didn't even want to be there. So, okay. That's that. you know, and, you know, I talked to my ex-husband, and he, you know, was like, oh, well, you know, the kids want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Why is that an option? Why is that an option that children can say, we want to go to, well, first of all, you came in talking about Chuck E. Cheese. You know, this is just something I didn't understand, and I was pissed off. I'm like, look, I'm going home. Oh, why are you going to be a spoiled sport? We'll come after Chuck E. Cheese. So I'm supposed to sit in the damn park all day waiting for y'all. I'm in Manhattan in a festival in Midtown waiting for you guys to come from Brooklyn after Chuck E. Cheese. I'm pissed at this point. I mean, I am heated. And then my niece came back with some ribs, some good, good ribs. Now, I had been in the mood for barbecue for a couple of weeks. She had checked out this other spot, and I ended up getting some burnt ribs. They were nasty. You know what? But these ribs were on point. And I was like, okay, I feel better. You know, my sister's like, okay, I'm on my way. And, you know, we made a day out of it. We had a really nice day. You know, and so the ex, he comes. They finally come to the park. Now, here's my vindictiveness here. The festival was supposed to be over at 5 o'clock. They, at 4-something, they call. Oh, where are you guys at? You guys still in the park? You want us to go to the park? You want us to go to the house? Come to the park. Because I wanted them to get there to the park. Want some ribs, and everything's closed down. That was mean. I know it was mean, but they deserved it. Okay? And so, you know, they get to the park, and then I find out they're going to close down at 7. Ah, pissed me off. They get to the park. Everybody comes into the park except for my ex-husband. He's sitting out in the car. It's like, where's your father? Oh, he's out in the car. He didn't want to have to deal with trying to find a parking space. He was in a parking space. So I went out there, you know, get your ass out the car. Get out the car. We're about to fight. You know, I was playful about it, but I really was pissed. You know, I was upset. I felt it was disrespectful the way that they had did it. But, you know, I joked around about it because I'm not really in no place. I don't want to have no bad blood with nobody about something that's really – I ended up having a good day. You know, so it really wasn't all that serious. But he ends up yelling out in the street, anybody want an ex-wife? You know, so it ended up being a, you know, peaceful situation. And the other ex, my second ex story is of my first serious boyfriend, high school, when I was 16 years old. He messaged me he friend requested me on Facebook after all these years, and I let it sit for a while, and I was like, I don't know if I want to be bothered with this person, because it was a stupid relationship, I'll call it. It was a stupid relationship. Some things had happened, you know, back then when I would say I was weak and didn't understand how I was supposed to be treated. You know, I had a lot of mouth, I had a lot of lip, but I accepted a lot of bullshit, you know. And, you know, we broke up when I was like, what, 18 years old. But in that time that we were together, there was some things that I didn't take serious that I later realized how serious they were. And I dealt with it with him. We hashed it out when I was about 40, you know. He used to hurt me. You know, he used to hurt me to get me to submit to having sex with him. And, you know, at the time when I was 16, 17 years old, I don't even know how to explain where my mind was, but I don't know. I didn't have the courage to stand up to it. But at 40, you know, and having been in contact with him again, it's like, oh, yeah, hey, and by the way, let me talk to you about this. And his response was, What you talking about? You was mine. That after all of these years, this is your response? After 20-something years? This is, you still think the same way? And so, you know, here we go 6 years later, you know, and you request me. And I let it sit for a minute, and I'm like, I'm over it, you know. And I accepted a different request. And, you know, he messaged me, Facebook messaged me. And he asked me to call him. And I said, no, I won't be doing that. You know, I won't be calling you, you know, so, you know, have a good night, whatever. And the next day he called me through Facebook. Like, you can make a call through Facebook. So he called me through Facebook, and I missed the call. And, you know, I messaged him and told him, don't try and call me. I don't mind being friends with you on Facebook, but I don't want to talk to you. And he, because, see, I know that if he is anything like he was 6 years ago, you know, he tries to bring up these, oh yeah, remember when, and blah, 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 Pookie Baby, and blah, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't, you know. I mean, I often, you know, I ain't going to say often, sometimes wonder how he's doing, because I know he is ill, you know, with diabetes and things like that. And we do have a close mutual friend. And I wonder from time to time, you know, how's he doing? You know, whatever. Is he okay? You know, how, and that's it. That's the question. How's so-and-so? Oh, he's all right. You know, whatever. That's it. You know, and I don't want it to go any further than that, because it's just, I don't hate him or anything like that, but it's just whatever. And so, you know, I just delete, I mean, you know, and it took me a minute to delete them. And it's like, why would you have somebody in your life or invite that into your life and you know you don't want it? And that's like, I felt like I took a step backwards, because I feel like I've gotten to a point in my life where I don't have people in my life that I don't want in my life, whether it's romantically or whether it's, you know, a friend socially or whatever. I don't really deal with people I don't want to deal with. So why would I invite this person back into my life? So that was kind of a step backwards for me. And so now on to the current ex. Well, this is a person who I've known since I was 18 years old. And we, you know, you've heard me talk about him, you know, in other broadcasts. But, you know, it's like been hit or miss with our relationship. We've always had these feelings for each other, but it's just now recently, this year. No, sorry. Backtrack. 2006, we, you know, had a chance to, you know, get together, but it didn't sustain. So we tried again this year, early this year. And it was an extended, because, you know, it's long distance. He's down south, I'm here, you know. And but this, you know, this visit was a nice, long visit. And it was interesting. You know, it was peaceful visit, which I didn't know whether or not it would be. When he mentioned, you know, coming to visit, part of my soul was saying, no, it's going to ruin all of these years. Because it's like, even though we haven't had an active relationship all these years, we always had that what could be, what we could have been type of thing. You know what I mean? And so I felt like him coming to visit. Now, we visited each other before, but it was always short and sweet. So this time, it was like, if he comes, and, you know, when he came, we didn't have a time frame, you know, like you're going to come for 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, whatever. It was just left open-ended. And so, you know, like I was saying, part of my soul was saying, no, usually I'm very, what is the word? Controlled, maybe? I don't know. I like to be prepared for something. This was a very spur of the moment. You know, hey, let's check out, you know, what the fare is for me to get there, blah, blah, blah. Well, when? Next couple of days. And I'm just like, fuck it, all right, come on. You know, and he came, and it was a nice visit. It really was. He stayed for almost 2 months. And it was he's a very kind and gentle man, very generous man, you know, very quiet man, you know, which is very different from me and my son. We kind of loud people. But it was interesting, you know, the contrast in the way we are, you know. But yet, you know, so in all, it was a really nice visit. But, you know, he went back down south. And, you know, so one of the things is that he's a very introverted person. He spends a lot of time alone, you know. And I feel like he has a lot of time, and very intelligent man. Intelligent to the point where for all these years, a lot of these years, I was very intimidated by him because I am the type of person I don't really like, you know, if I'm going to be in a relationship, I don't need to be with nobody who can outthink me. I know that is very, whatever. It is what it is. I've seen women in relationships where they have been overtaken by their mates, and that just, anyway, that's another subject for another day. Anyway, like I said, this is a very, you know, intelligent man, which, and his intelligence intimidated me for many, many years. And then, you know, I get to a point where I just say, F it. You know, I don't, you know, and I have to jump over that hurdle of being intimidated by something. And then when you jump over it, you realize, you know, this is not as, you know, bad as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't intimidating anymore, you know. So anyway, here we go. He's back in, he's back down south, and, you know, the relationship got a lot of space between it. So, you know, and it started to fizzle, you know, I would say. I mean, we would still text and talk every now and then. But what I noticed was he would talk to me in a certain way that I didn't like, you know, and that it was a lot of anger in the way he would speak. And, you know, certain things he would say, you know, it's like, okay. And he kind of likes when I get angry, but I'm not up. I'm a peaceful person. I'm not up for debate. I'm not up for argument all the time. A debate is a real, honest, and genuine debate is okay. But don't poke and prod me to get me to, you know, be a little angry, a little upset, or, you know, don't do that. You know, and so finally, you know, and after months of taking this and just dealing with this way that you're talking to me when you feel like it. You know, sometimes you could be the sweetest thing in the world, and other times you want to talk reckless. I don't want to hear this shit. And this isn't just, this was, you know, like I said, out Friday, you know, my mood had just lifted. So here we are on Saturday, and you calling me and you saying, you know, well, why is it that when you talk to me, you say so-and-so and such to me? I'm like, what? Do I really? You know, I didn't know I said that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't mean any harm by it. It's, you know, must be a mistake. And then I realized we ain't talked in a little while. And the last time I talked to you, the phone clicked off. So I ain't said shit to you. You want to argue. And I'm not up for it. And then that goes into some whole thing about how black women, you know, want to be in control and blah, 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 blah. I am not up for this. I don't want to hear it. You're not going to talk to me like that. I don't like it. Stop. You know, and then you kind of feel what I'm getting from your conversation or your text that is that I'm supposed to just take it. You know, and then you giving me this ultimatum about you removing me from your contact list by 12 p.m. if I don't basically fall in line. Do it now, bye. You know, this I don't do that. I don't do that. You can't ultimatum me. I'm sorry. You cannot ultimatum me. But it's anyway, and it made me think back, you know, into why I allow myself to be spoken to in that way. I mean, one, it is a relationship that I do value. You know, this person, I mean, since I've been 18 years old, and it's not just on a romantic tip, just like as a friend, as a valued person in my life. And so it's just that attitude, that arrogant attitude, I can't deal with, you know, and the anger, your anger issues, that I'm not an angry person, and it's hard for me. It's hard. It's like eating something bitter or sour or really hot and spicy. I can't, you know, because you take me away from the peace that I'm trying to be in. And I don't want, just because you there, don't drag me there. Come on over to the peaceful side. You know, I can't be, I don't want to be drugged there. It's, I don't fit there. You know, so I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that. But, I started thinking, why? And I'm going to tell you and be honest with you, part of me felt lucky. Lucky that here is someone that has cared for me when I was able-bodied and young, 18, come on. And through all of these years, you still care for me. You still love me. And as my body has gone the other way, you know, doing something different, you never made an issue of it. So I kind of felt lucky to have someone who cared for me like that. And you know, being disabled, you know, it might be kind of difficult to find somebody to share your life with or to be romantically involved with. So I think I kind of felt lucky, so I accepted certain behaviors that I ordinarily would not accept from a person. And it also, you know, there are things, you know, he also now has a disability. And, you know, the physical disability, I get it, I understand it, I can see it, you know, whatever. But there's also an issue, you know, there's an unseen disability that it's hard for me to understand. I spoke about this before. You know, it's hard for me to understand. And anyway, like I said, you know, I accepted this type of behavior because I felt lucky, and I don't like it. And so I removed myself from it. But I also feel like I'm betraying him, because it's almost like this unspoken thing that, you know, okay, I'm going to be here for you forever. You know, and I'm not even going to say that it's totally over in terms of, you know, I think I will always be able to extend myself as a friend. But I can't deal with that. It doesn't feel nice for somebody to speak to you in a way, you know, to me that's derogatory. It doesn't feel good. There's nothing feels good that comes out of that. You know, if you want to be angry, you can be. And I can even deal with, you know, if you want to debate, but the issues go, it's almost like I feel, I remember one time we had a conversation and I just started crying, you know, and I started crying. And it wasn't even because of what, you weren't really saying anything derogatory to me, but it's just that your conversation was so hurt and angry, and I don't know what to do. See, he's also a vet, a combat vet, and they deal with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and I tell you, our country does not take care of their vets when they return home. They don't. You know, they don't see to their stability, you know, when they come home. And they need more than ever. I mean, it's almost like your country betrays you. You put your life on the line for your country, and your country betrays you. You know, that is, anyway. But, you know, so it's a whole lot of things, you know, going on with that. And I the things that I thought that I could deal with, because I kind of think I'm sort of like a armchair psychiatrist or something like that. I don't know. You know, I'm compassionate and I'm understanding, but that does not make me an expert, you know, to deal with. All I have is an ear and a heart and a shoulder. You know, I don't have expertise to deal with certain things. And honestly, those things, you know, the more they hurt him, they hurt me. And like I said, it sort of feels like betrayal, because I feel like you know, cutting and running when you have been, when you've been supportive of me, nothing but supportive of me. And I feel like I'm cutting and running, you know, but it's a lot to deal with and know how to deal with that. Wow. I don't know how to deal with it. And so I don't know if I'm betraying or not, you know. I don't know if it's betraying or trust or not, you know, when you think somebody's going to be there for you. And then they tell you, you know, they can't. And I don't think I had the guts to say it in a calm way. I had to wait until I was angry, you know. So I don't know if I will be able to have this conversation with him in a calm way. I hope so, but. Oh, boy. Anyway, guys, this is about the end of the show. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate you guys being there. I'm still working out the show, seeing what I'm going to do with it, how I'm going to do it. I might even change the name of the show. I don't know, because I don't know how this love and intimacy for the disabled part is going. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm going to be here. I'm still coming back. See you guys next Monday at 6 p.m. This seems to be the better time rather than 11. Can't swing with 11. I thought I was going to do it at 11, but I really can't swing with 11. Good night. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.